Now, if you have your Bibles today, I want to take the same text to end with I started to begin with. Is that all right? I just thought about what text will I take, and I thought, well, I guess I ought to take a text we most usually do. I can preach with or without one. But we usually take a text, so this will be just as good as any. Anybody know what that verse was? What this portion of scripture was that we began with on the first Friday night? Can you remember? Were you here? Well, I'll tell you. It's John, the 14th chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And verses 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Then I'd like for you to notice also in Acts chapter 2 these verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and verse 33. Peter is preaching here on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." I want to give you five important things about receiving the Holy Spirit that you ought to know. And then I want to give five important things that you ought to know who have received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we'll sort of give you a double header. Now, first of all, here's what you need to know about receiving the Holy Spirit. And this will help you who have the Holy Ghost in helping others. And it'll help you who may not have been filled with the Spirit. Now, number one, know this, that He, the Holy Spirit, is a gift. Jesus said, "I'll pray the Father, and He will give you." Hallelujah. Another Comforter. Isn't that right? He is a gift. And God has already given the Spirit. You'll notice it said here, Peter said, Jesus, God has raised him up whereof we are witnesses, and has exalted him, and that he received of the Father the Holy Ghost, and that he shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So, the Holy Ghost is a gift, he is a gift, and God's already given the Spirit, and it's up to the individual to receive the gift now. Now, that's the reason in the Acts of the Apostles, you see, as Paul came to Ephesus, he found certain disciples, Acts 19:1, and he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" He didn't say, "Has God given you the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" It's up to the individual to receive the Holy Ghost. And then it said, you know, concerning Peter and John's ministry down in Samaria, it said, "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received." They receive. It said they prayed for them that they might receive. So you see, really, we don't need to pray that God would give. We need to pray that people would receive. Praise the Lord. It's up to you to receive the gift. Then second, the second thing is this. Most important thing. There are other things that are important. Anyone who's saved is ready now to receive the Holy Spirit. Now I say that because a lot of people have so many kind of ideas about it. They'll try to impose their thinking on you. I remember my wife and I was holding a meeting one place, and several had come to receive the Holy Spirit, and we were praying around the altar, and everyone received who came. And the men folk were praying down here at one end of the altar, and they had all, the men had been filled with the Spirit, and folks got through praying and got up and went to their seats, and all the ladies who came to be filled with the Spirit had been filled with the Spirit, and there's one lady who lingered there worshiping God, and then she got up off of her knees and just sat down on the altar and was praising God in English. Now, she had already been filled with the Spirit, and I suppose she had spoken in tongues nearly an hour altogether. But here she had just praising God in English. And so there was a gentleman walked down here, and I heard him because he was standing right close by, and he happened, he heard her praising in English, and he thought, well, she failed to receive, see. And so she had her hand lifted praising God. She had on a wedding band or wedding ring. And he rushed up there and said, "Sister, pull that wedding ring off and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost." Well, I just got him by the arm and ushered him right out of there and said, "Brother, you're all wet. She's already got the Holy Ghost wedding band and all. Amen. Now, I just use that as an illustration. You can amplify it sometimes, a thousand times. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Because people said, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other. We still have the Judaizers among us, you know. But thank God anyone who's saved is ready now to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, I know when you say that because I've had people to come to me and say, well, now, Brother Hagin, do you mean to infer that carnal Christians can be filled with the Holy Ghost? And I always say, no, ma'am. No, ma'am, I didn't mean to infer any such thing. I just flat said it. They can, yes. What? You mean carnal Christians can receive the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, certainly. Don't you claim to be? Yes. I said, well, that settles it then. Carnal Christians can have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You know, they need the experience more than anyone else does, almost. Well, you know, it's easy. You can prove it by the Bible. The Corinthian church were filled with the Holy Ghost and had all the gifts of the Spirit operate. And yet Paul said, you're carnal. You're carnal. You're yet babes. You haven't grown up yet. But you see, if you'd walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, it'll help you to grow. And it would give you added power to overcome your carnality. That is, if you're walking the light of... Now, I know that there's a lot of people receive from God and just sit down and do nothing with it. And you know that as well as I do. But I'm talking about walking on in truth and walking on in light. The Holy Spirit is there then to help you. Praise God forevermore. And then number three, the third most important thing, is that the person who comes to be filled with the Spirit, the candidate to be filled with the Spirit, is to expect the Spirit to move on his vocal organs and to put supernatural words on his lips, which he is to speak out in cooperation with the Spirit. Now, there's been much misunderstanding about speaking with tongues that has caused great damage, has really done much damage to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in some ways, and on the other side has robbed millions of people. And I don't think I exaggerated when I said that, of the blessing that God intended that they should have. So many people, because we make statements among us sometimes. We folks who have the experience, we sort of have a language that we've developed, and we make statements sometimes that we may know what we're talking about, but they can be very misleading unto others. I made mention of the fact one time that I went into a drugstore. I was in a city away from home on some business, and really didn't have much time, so I thought, well, I'll just get me a sandwich, you know, and something for lunch, you know. So I knew this drugstore on the corner had a lunch counter there, and so I ordered a pimento cheese sandwich and a vanilla malted milk. Well, now, they were quite crowded in this little old corner store, and they had these stools up front, but they mixed the stuff up in the back, you see. And so this girl who took my order just hollered back there, said, Palm Beach and a van does. And I thought, my, that's not what I ordered. And I looked around, see, there wasn't anybody else there. I read it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, the little noon rush was over. And I looked around, you know, wasn't anybody there. I said, well, it couldn't have been anybody else's order because there's no one here. Well, I started to tell her that you made a mistake here. I didn't order that, whatever it is. But I thought, well, I'll wait and see what they bring me. And if it isn't what I ordered, well, I'll just send it back. But here she came out with it directly, and sure enough, it was just exactly what I ordered. It was a vanilla malted milk and a pimento cheese, that's what it was, sandwich. And then I remember in Depression days, I went into a little cafe and sat down in a booth. And instead of having a pad, you know, and taking orders like they do today, I guess maybe it's Depression days, and they just saved every penny they could, even paper. And so this waitress just would call back to the kitchen what she had ordered. And so she was standing by a table here, the man and woman, a booth, you see, next to me. And she took their order, and before she came to me, instead of going back there, she just called back to the kitchen, said, Adam and Eve on toast. Well, I thought, what in the world is that, Adam and Eve on toast? And so I thought, well, I'll just watch and see when they come, you see. But when she came out, she took my order then and called it back there. I don't remember about that. I was too taken up with this Adam and Eve business on toast. And so when it got ready, well, this chef or cook back there, he rang a bell and she got it. And I thought, well, I'll see then, you see. But she held it up sort of this way, and I never did without standing up. And I don't know, I hated just to stand up. And that boob took over and see what these folks were getting. But I never did know what it was. But I guess it was what they ordered because they didn't send it back. And so I found out they had a language of their own. Now, if we're not mistaken when it comes to spiritual things, we'll be the same way. We'll sort of have a language of our own. And it we may know what we mean by it, but it can be misleading sometimes. Now, I've prayed with people who were graduates of our best Bible schools, graduates of Central Bible Institute of the Assemblies of God, and never received the Holy Ghost. Went all the way through school, never received. Been a member of Assembly of God Church for a quarter of a century almost, and never received the Holy Ghost. And yet, in ministering to them, I got them filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, do you know what they said to me, one thing that I helped them with more than any other? They said, well, you know, it seems to me like it's 1,000 times that I've been to the place that I had stammering lips and maybe said a word or two in tongues and said somebody nearby would say, that's it, brother, that's the Holy Ghost. Said, let the Holy Ghost talk. Said, I'd stop to let him talk and that'd be the end of it. Now, see, we talk about sometimes the Holy Ghost speaking through us or Holy Ghost praying through us, and yet you can't exactly find that term in the Bible. He does give you utterance, but you do your own talking. Are you listening to me? And so some people have got the idea that some kind of a power is going to come and overpower me and take me over and make me do something I don't want to do. And that's hindered a lot of folks. No, my brother, sister, the Bible said that the Spirit gave. Now, there's a vast difference in giving and making somebody do something. You know that? When something is given, then it's up to you to receive. But when you're made to do something, when you're forced into something, it ceases to be a gift. God gave us a will. When you're made to do something, your will is violated. Now, this may be a crude illustration, but it's as good as I can think of. Our home was broken. My daddy left when I was about 6 years of age. And so I went to live with one grandparent on my mother's side. My brother, oldest brother, went to live with a grandparent on the other side of the family. And my sister, which was the oldest child, stayed home. And then my baby brother, who was only a baby, 6 months old when Dad left. Well, see, they stayed at home, see, so they wouldn't. And they helped support them, see. I mean, the rest of the families helped them. So I live with my mother's folks. And she had an old maid sister at home. Now, she finally made it. She got married eventually. So if there's any old maids, you hold on. You may make it yet. See, I was just a boy, 9 years old. See, 10, 11, 12, long there, see. But I can remember back there when I was 9 years old, her an old maid. Well, some way or another, she got it in her head, you see, that and she would take a laxative every night. And she just sure I needed it too. And so I started to say she gave me a laxative every night, but she didn't give it to me. She made me take it. There's a difference. Did you hear me? Said, did you hear me? Because it wasn't my will to take it. I didn't want to. I was forced into it. Amen. There's a vast difference in giving somebody something and making them do it. Now, it didn't say the Holy Ghost made them speak with tongues. Did you hear me? Well, somebody said he did me. I dispute that. I'd be afraid of your experience. Now, I know this. Once you begin to yield to the Spirit, and once you begin to speak, and you can become so yielded to the Holy Spirit, but you've done that by a volition of your own will, then it seems almost you don't have anything to do with it. But you did to begin with. You had to begin with. And I know this because I've done it and do it again and again. I pray in the Spirit sometimes and what I call sort of being lost. Oh, you can't find that expression in the Word, but it just mentions praying in the Spirit. I'll pray in the Spirit and just get so lost to things around me. Don't mean I'm unconscious, but time goes by so fast, you know, until I think, well, I've been praying 15 or 20 minutes and open my eyes and look at the clock, and I've prayed sometimes for up to 6 hours. And many times 2 and 3 hours and thought it just 15 minutes. But my brother, sister, I wasn't forced into that. They didn't something just come on me as a usual thing. When I started out, I just pretty well plodded along. Do you understand what I mean? I just sort of pushed myself into it to begin with. But bless God, I struck the fire, so to speak. Well, now, we need perhaps to paraphrase our words a little differently. It said as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, speaking with tongues is a cooperation between you and the Holy Ghost. It isn't all the Holy Ghost, and it isn't all you. It's both of you. It's Him giving the utterance, and you doing the talking. Amen. Now, this man said to me that I mentioned, why, he said, if someone had told me that, I'd been talking tongues all these years. The ability to speak was there. But somebody told him, let the Holy Ghost talk. He'd talk, let the Holy Ghost talk, and that'd be the end of it. But I said to him, speaking out, brother, just talk a blue streak. That's the Holy Ghost giving to the utterance. And he went to talking. Praise the Lord. That's yielding to the Spirit, you see. And you've got to do that. And then number four, if you are saved and do not receive the Holy Spirit, then there's only really two areas that you need to work on. And I think many people are defeated because they try to, they said something must be wrong with me. Maybe it's not for me. But if you're really saved and walking in the light, walking in fellowship with God, then it is either a lack of faith or a lack of yieldedness. There's where the trouble is. Now let me tell you how you can tell which one it is. If it is a lack of faith, you will not sense. I don't like to use the word feel. Now, I'll tell you why. Because we get taken up with physical feeling. And physical feeling don't have anything to do with this. It's a spiritual feeling or a spiritual sense. Now, you will not sense that presence of God. If you do not sense the presence of the Holy Spirit within you, then it's a lack of faith. You see, it's faith that receives Him. We receive all we get from God by faith. He gives the Holy Ghost, what Scripture said, to them that believe. It's not for them that believe not, you see. Somebody said, well, if God would just pour the Holy Ghost out on me, said, I'd believe it. Well, He won't. You just forget it. He gives the Holy Ghost, He said, unto them that believe. And so, then if you do not sense the Spirit of God moving upon you, and giving you utterance, then it's a lack of faith. Then praying won't give you faith. Begging won't give you faith. Crying and seeking God won't give you faith. Come back to the Word. Read the promises of God and the Word of God on the subject. I know many times in helping people, I've prayed with people that folks have sought with for days and hours and months and years, and I've just said to them, get your Bible. You know, I think that's where we miss it a lot of times. Amen. We try to help people apart from the Word by just sort of giving them our testimony and praying. But my brother, sister, what does the Word say? And really, I'm alarmed sometimes that the Word of God has no more place than it has in some of our services, in some of our altars. Amen. Now, I know a personal friend of mine. I could call his name Sister Grace. No, minister has told me, he said, he's holding a meeting now in a full gospel church. And he's an evangelist. See, at that time, he isn't now, he's a pastor. But he's holding a meeting. And three young men, well, one older man, two younger men, came to be saved. Well, he just got his Bible, got right down there, you know. And the pastor sort of got his attention and said, now just don't be doing that. He said, I want these people to pray through to a real experience. But you are not going to get anybody through to a real experience, brother, sister, except on the Word of God. Let me say this. You can't pray through to a real experience apart from the Word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you can't, well, say oh me. Because it's all true. You see, I've seen people pray all night long and not get saved. Because nobody told them what to believe. I prayed with a man in Dallas, Texas. That the believers, the Christians said to me, he's been coming by. This wasn't his statement, but it's Assembly of God layman said he's been coming by the church here for 6 months. They had an early morning prayer meeting. The men would come by the church and pray from 5:30 to 6:30 every morning, 5 days a week on the way to work. And here's a sinner man that had been coming by and praying with them for 6 months. Did you hear me? To be saved, and he's still unsaved. That's an indictment. And I'll tell you something else. It's an indictment against us that somebody's been coming by and praying, seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost these months and haven't been filled.
Amen.
because the entrance of his word giveth life. Well, when I dealt with this young man who had come by there to pray so long, in 10 minutes' time, he was saved and shouting happy. Then he received the Holy Ghost. No, sir. We receive in line with the word, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I've sat down with some of these folks who've been so long in seeking, just with the word, and they received then according to the word. Praise God. Went away speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now then, if you do sense the Spirit of God moving upon you and putting the supernatural words upon your lips, and your tongue having the urge to say something that isn't English, and you don't go on through and speak with other tongues, then it's a matter of yieldedness. Recognize this, that he's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. I think some people think, well, now, if I'm just overpowered and I do this and I don't want to, but I really do it anyhow, then that'll be God. But that wouldn't, that be the devil. I said that wouldn't, that would be the devil. Because you can't find anywhere from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible where the Holy Ghost ever drives people, where the Holy Spirit ever makes people, where the Holy Spirit ever forces people. But you do read where demons do. The Holy Ghost will prompt you. The Holy Ghost will urge you. The Holy Ghost will give you a gentle push and he'll lead you. But he'll never drive and never force and never make people do things they don't want to do. If he did, if the Holy Ghost did that, if God did those things, well, he'd make everybody get saved today. And we'd go into the millennium, as we say, tomorrow. You see? But he don't do that. He'll deal with people, and it's up to their wills. We are not a machine.
That's right.
He gave us a will of our own. And then number five, every believer seeking to be and who has been filled with the Holy Spirit should know this, that one should speak with other tongues when they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we believe that because Acts 2:4 said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. If that was the only scripture on the subject, then we might quibble about it. But the Bible said plainly in Acts 10:44 through 46, while Peter yet spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning, for we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Acts 19:6, when Paul had put his hands on the Holy Ghost, came on them and they spake with tongues. But now listen, I think we made one of the great mistakes and blunders of this past half century in not teaching people that they should continue to speak with tongues.
Amen.
And there are ministers of the gospel, I know because my wife and I have prayed with them and got them reactivated them speaking with tongues, who received the Holy ministers, I mean, Assembly God minister who received the Holy Ghost years ago and spoke with tongues and have never spoken again in all these years. Didn't know they're supposed to. Didn't even know they could. But we've seen them. Praise God in some of our meetings. Just get right in, praise God, and stir up the gift of God that was in them and said, well, if I'd have known it, I could have been doing this all that time. And how they were robbed of spiritual blessings and benefits by not doing so. Well, now, don't you know that the whole congregation that they pastored, because these men were pastors, not just Assembly of God pastors, I mean Foursquare pastors, had the same thing with some of them and other full gospel churches, see? Because there has not been prevalently talk among us in days gone by that believers should continue to speak with tongues and praise and worship God in other tongues. Howard Carter said in his book on questions and answers concerning spiritual gifts that we must not forget that speaking with other tongues is not only an initial sign and evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, but speaking with other tongues is a continual experience for the rest of one's life. He went on to say, to assist in the worship of God. It is, speaking with tongues, is a flowing stream which should never dry up, but will enrich our lives spiritually. It'll do that. Paul said it would. Praise God. The Bible says it. Now, I can just hear someone. I picked that up in my spirit just now. When you get to preaching, when you're sensitive to the Spirit, well, you can pick up what people are thinking in their minds and what they've got in their spirits. And someone just said, because I picked it up in my spirit, well, now, I spoke with tongues and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but now I can't talk with tongues unless the Holy Ghost gives me utterance, and he hasn't given me utterance. Well, did you expect him to? He won't do any more than you expect him to do. He won't do any more than you believe him to do. If you'll start expecting and believing him, he'll accommodate you. But as long as you say he won't, he won't. Because don't you ever forget it, that Jesus said, whosoever shall say, and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Now notice what he said. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And as long as you say you can't get the Holy Ghost, you'll never get the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you get 999 preachers, half the wives, and all the apostles to pray for you. You'll still never get the Holy Ghost as long as you say you can't. Because if you could, Jesus told a lie then. He said he'll have whatsoever he saith. Mark 11:23. Are you hearing me? People come to me all the time and say, Brother Hagin, can you help me? I said, well, the will of can. Well, now, will you tell me why I can't get the Holy Ghost? I say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I sure can. Their eyes will get big. Say, well, I wish you'd tell me. I said, you can't. See, you just told me you can't. You believe you can't, or you wouldn't be saying you can't. And if you don't believe you can't, you oughtn't to be saying it. Are you listening to me? And then I have people come to me and say, now, I received the Holy Ghost, and I talk in tongues all back yonder, but now I can't talk anymore. I don't know why. Will you tell me why I can't speak in tongues? I say, yes, I sure can. I sure can. You see, you can't. You say you can't. I always say I can, so I always do. You can have what you say. I said, you can have what you say. I'll have to preach faith a little to you. My wife always said, no matter where I start out, preaching, I always wind up on faith. But you know, it's all hooked up together. It's all hooked up together. Speaking with tongues is an act of faith. I'm trusting God to give me the utterance. I don't know what it'll be. I just start out trusting Him to give me the utterance. And He responds to faith. Hallelujah. Now then, that brings me to my first point of after receiving the Holy Ghost. You see, the last one here and the first one here hooks right together. Why should we continue to speak with tongues as Spirit-filled believers? This is the first of the five things that one who's received the Holy Ghost should know, and that is that he should continue to speak with other tongues. Now, why should he? Well, Howard Carter, as I said, one of our oldest and widely known and recognized Bible teachers in full gospel circles, said that speaking with other tongues is not only the initial sign or evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, but it is a continual experience for the rest of one's life. He said it's to assist in the worship of God. Well, what does the Bible say? Same thing. We heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies himself. But ye, beloved, Jude said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in tongues. Praise the Lord. That's why you should continue, you see. It's because it's an assist in the worship of God. It's a flowing stream, Howard Carter said, that should never dry up, but will enrich your life spiritually. That's exactly what we just read. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 4, verse is what we're quoting. He that speaks not on tongue edifies himself. That means he builds himself up. Builds himself up spiritually. Jude 20th verse, just one chapter. But ye, beloved. Now notice, he didn't write this letter to an individual. He wrote this letter to the whole church. And he said to the whole church, you, beloved, build up yourselves. All of you. Build yourself up. How? How? On your most holy faith. Now see, he didn't say praying in tongues would give you faith, but he said it'll build you up on the faith you've already got. You, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. How are you going to do it? Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praise.
Well, now, what's praying in the Holy Ghost? That's praying in the Holy Spirit. What's praying in the Holy Spirit? That's praying in the Spirit. Well, 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2nd verse said, he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Now listen, howbeit in the Spirit. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Praise God. Praying in the Spirit is praying in the Holy Spirit. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. So you see, we're told to continue to do so. We're told to pray that way. Now listen again to 1 Corinthians 14. Now go back to the 14th verse and let's read the 14th and 15th verses. Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That's the reason you should continue to pray and worship God in other tongues. It provides a way for your spirit to pray apart from your understanding. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Is that necessary? It must be. Why is it necessary? Because God's a spirit. God is a spirit, and you are a spirit. And when you're praying in tongues, your spirit's in direct contact. Praise God with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when your spirit's in direct contact with the Holy Spirit, that builds up your spirit spiritually. In fact, Greek scholars, and I think you can see it now as never before, Greek scholars, those who know the Greek language, tell us this, that we have a word that we use nowadays that's closer to the meaning of the word translated edify than this word edify is, and that's the word charge as we use it in connection with an automobile battery. This battery gets run down in your automobile. You put it on the line, it gets in direct contact with the current, and it's built up. It's charged. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, God is a spirit. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Then my spirit's in direct contact with God who is a spirit. That's a supernatural language and a supernatural line right straight through the glory world. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, you see, we might put it this way, that he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself or charges himself or builds himself up like a battery. Oh, glory to God. You see why we should continue? That's the reason some of you folks are so run down. Spiritually. You're not charging your spiritual battery. Hallelujah. You're not keeping edified. You're not keeping built up spiritually. This isn't something God does. This isn't something that the Holy Ghost does, though he's indirectly involved. It's something you do. It's just like this. Putting that battery on the line. Did you ever go in there with a charging battery? See a bunch of them there. You see all on this line. Well, the electricity certainly is charging that battery. But in a sense, it isn't something the electricity did. It's something you did. You put it there to be charged. You see? And unless you put that battery there to be charged, unless you put it on the line, it'd never get built up, would it? Would it? Well, now, don't you see? It's a praying in the Holy Ghost, praying with tongues. It builds you up spiritually. But unless you get on the line, bless God. So he said, ye, beloved, Jude said, but ye, beloved, building up yourself. You do it. Build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. If any man speak, every time it talks about the man speaking, never says a word about the Holy Ghost talking. You do the talking, he gives it. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, praise God, he says. Now, look at this 14th verse. For if I, Paul said, pray. You see, you can not only speak and worship God and praise him and magnify him, but you can pray as well. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit, the Amplified Translation adds, by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. Now notice here again that both my spirit and the Holy Spirit's involved. It's not all the Holy Spirit, it's not all my spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit in my spirit giving me the utterance. It's me speaking out of my spirit to God. I can't say it any plainer than that. If you can't get that, I just wouldn't be able to help you. Amen. That's just as clear as I can say it, and that's just exactly what the Bible says. Now then, what does Paul say? 15th verse now. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. He just got through stating in the 14th verse that praying with the Spirit's with tongues. So he said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Now, here's exactly where many of us in time past have made a mistake. Instead of willing to pray, we thought we had to get all worked up some way or another before we could.
Amen.
I mean with tongues. Well, somebody said, don't feel like it. Well, do you always pray with your understanding when you feel like it? No, you just said, I'm going to pray. Sometimes we just say, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, you lead us in prayer. Will you pray? He said, yeah, I will. All right, pray then. So he gets up and starts praying. With his understanding. His will comes into play. Alright, what Paul's saying is that you can will to pray with the Spirit and start out praying with the Spirit just like you will to pray with your mind.
Amen.
If he's not saying that, then I can't understand words. Not only that, but here's the second thing. See, number one was you should continue to speak with tongues, and we've told you a few reasons why, not all of them. But now listen. Number two important thing you need to know is, and that is you need to sing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, did you notice this? Yeah, sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, leading the choir, and they sing. They think singing with the Spirit just sort of getting worked up. You know, and sort of singing fast, you know. And they said, now, this sing this next verse. Maybe they're singing a song, you know. And they say, this sing this next verse with the Spirit and with the understanding. Well, they don't know more what that verse means. You know that? That's not what that's talking about at all. No, sir. Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit. If they sang with Spirit, they'd sing with tongues. Because he'd already stated in the previous verse that praying with the Spirit was praying with tongues. So he said, I'll pray with the Spirit. That's with tongues. And I'll pray with my understanding also. And then he said, I'll sing with the Spirit.
Hey.
Have you ever sang in tongues? Hey. I said, have you ever sang in tongues? Yes. Are you still doing it?
Yes.
All right, but that brings me to the third thing you need to know. I'm talking about the one who's received the Holy Ghost you need to know. And that is that God expects you to keep filled with the Spirit. Now this isn't something God does, something you do. Now notice Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Paul wrote this to the whole church at Ephesus. He wrote a letter to the saints, to the church at Ephesus, didn't he? And he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One translation reads, and the Greek scholars tell us that a little nearer meaning here is, be being filled. Now what does that mean? Well, that just means maintain a constant experience. Or we might put it another way, because he's using that. He's talking about don't be drunk on wine, but just be drunk on the Spirit. Be so full of the Spirit you're drunk on the Spirit.
Amen.
They thought this drunk on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. Now notice this. He gives the characteristic of the Spirit-filled life. At Ephesians 5:19. Now, that's 18 we just quoted. Now, 5:19. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ooh, I don't know whether I'm helping you or not, but I'm preaching me happy. Glory to God. I tell you, friends, we need this. We must have it. We get so taken up with the affairs of life. You men are on the job working with your hands. You see, your body's active. Or on a job, perhaps, so you have to work with your mind or maybe both of them. Until if you're not careful, you neglect the spirit part of you, which is the real you, the spiritual part, you see. And so we're so full, you're so busy, and we have to be. And if we're not careful, the ladies are so busy with their housework and so busy with their minds that they forget their spirits. And so the natural things then, the material things dominate them, isn't that right? They're taken all up with those. The material things, the natural things then take up all of their time.
Yes.
And we become less spiritual and less spiritual and less spiritual and have less manifestation and less manifestation of the Spirit till even though back yonder somewhere we had some glorious experiences and just sang in the Spirit and worshiped God until, well, all that isn't necessary, we finally decide. Then we come to the place that we begin to wonder whether we ever did have anything in on, for sure. Now why? Because we didn't keep filled. Hallelujah. You got started off when you was filled by speaking. It said plainly, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. And here in Ephesians 5:9-18:19, it said, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit speaking. I'm like Smith Wigglesworth. He said, we maintain in Pentecostal circles that when a person is filled with the Spirit, they speak with tongues. He said, I maintain if they keep filled, they're going to continue to speak. Hallelujah. Not only speak with tongues, but sing. 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 Sing with tongues. Sing with the Spirit. Sing. Hallelujah. Now, number four. Now listen. Number four. Remember this. That the Holy Spirit is in you now. I'm talking to folks who have been filled with the Spirit. As a comforter, You see, we read here where Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Thank God he didn't just come on a 2 weeks vacation. Now then, the Amplified Translation gives the sevenfold meaning of the Greek word translated comforter. And he said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But now what else would you need? Praise God, what else would you need, will you kindly tell me? He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. Remember, you've got him in you who is all of those things, and he will be unto you all of those things if you'll cooperate with him. Now then, Jesus was speaking here before the Holy Spirit came. The letters, the writers of the letters to the church are writing to people who have been born again and been filled with the Spirit or received the Holy Ghost. Now let's see what they say. Well, here Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians. And he said, 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He's in you. He's in you. Now, wait a minute. I want to show you something. There in that 14th chapter we just spoke about, the 14th verse, Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. We had the idea, because somebody told us in days gone by, what the scripture taught, that we couldn't talk with tongues unless something come down on us, the anointing came on us. But you can't find that anywhere in the New Testament. Let me read what he said. He said, the Holy Ghost, I pray in tongues by the Holy Spirit within me.
Amen.
Didn't he? In me. Now, I grant you, the Holy Ghost comes and anoints us to stand in certain offices and minister, but not the speaking with tongues. He comes to dwell in us. Now, notice what John said. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Where does the New Testament say the anointing is? Look in the second chapter of the first epistle of John. Notice the 20th verse. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now notice the 27th verse. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Oh, he isn't writing that to some preacher. He's writing that to the church. He's writing that to believers. The anointing which you received of him abideth in you. Now, do you know what a lot of people thought that received the Holy Ghost? They thought they got a blessing. Oh, they said it came down on me, and he did to begin with, but then you perform the act of receiving him and he abides in you. And they're trying to get back where they were there. If I could feel like that again, I'd just be wonderful. And bless God, he's been there on the inside of them all the time to help them, to teach them, to guide them. Now see what he said here, but the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you. You can't read any letter. You can't find any letter where Paul wrote, I'm talking about relative to the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues, or where John did, or any of these folks who wrote to the church and talks about the anointing abiding on them. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Listen to what the Bible said, not what we thought or what we've been taught. Really, these things, you see, we've been taught that's not in line with the Word has really caused us to come to the place that we are today.
Brother Hagin, I've had a word of revelation.
All right.
He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
One spirit. Amen.
That's the reason that he could say, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Yes.
Because if we are joined to the Lord, and then we're one spirit.
Yes.
It's the same spirit.
Same.
He is the spirit. We're joined to him. So
joined.
Our spirit,
yes,
is joined to his. That's the reason we can have what we say. That's the reason that anybody who's,
ooh,
joined to him,
glory,
the faith is the plugging in,
yeah,
of the battery.
Yeah.
It's actually already joined in, but faith turns it on.
Yes.
We're one spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The anointing here, he said, abideth in you.
Yes, that's it.
Then again, Paul wrote to the church, he wrote a second letter. I think maybe he thought they didn't get it that first letter, perhaps. That first time he wrote. Maybe he just better reiterate this again. Because, see, he said in this sixth chapter, 19th verse, what? Know ye not your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own. In the third chapter, in the 16th verse, he said, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you.
Yes.
So he wrote another letter. And in this other letter, in 2 Corinthians 6:16, he said, for ye are the temple of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, as God has said, I will dwell in them. Well, now, you see, he isn't just talking about your body. The only reason your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost is because your body is the temple of your own spirit. It's a house you're living in. He's dwelling in your spirit.
In your spirit.
In your spirit.
In your spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so, you see, he said, as God has said, I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now then, number five, and we must conclude. Remember this? He's in you, all right, but now he is in you. As Jesus said he would be. When he's come, he said he'll guide. He'll guide you into all truth. So he's in you a guide. You're looking to the wrong place for guidance very often. That's the reason you don't get it. You look to the wrong place, I said, for guidance very often. That's the reason you don't find it. Where are you going to find it? In you. For he's a guide in you. Look to your spirit. Your spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit does not dwell in your head. He dwells in your spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit does not communicate with your mind. He communicates with your spirit. He imparts his uto tati loredeka la rafutu huskatihi mahalahado eva bubara de fuhulu mahan kastehehe. He imparts his message unto your spirit. And in your spirit you know things that your intellect cannot obtain. Yea, you see things that your natural eyes cannot see. And you know things
Hallelujah.
That the natural mind will never receive.
Hallelujah.
Because the Spirit of God imparteth unto your spirit wisdom, imparteth unto your spirit knowledge. And so you rise up in Him and walk in the revelation of life. And ye shall overcome, for ye have overcome them. For greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, he's in you as a guide. Then this is fifth point, but this is second part of it. Jesus said, not only said he'll guide you into all truth, but he said he'll teach. Oh, glory to God, I got the teacher in me. Hallelujah, he'll teach. He'll teach. Well, that's what John said over here in this epistle. He was there and heard Jesus say that day. John wrote that in the gospel, that Jesus said he'll teach. And so John wrote an epistle over here, and we read it there a while ago, 1 John 2:27, and he said, but the anointing, see, that anointing is the Spirit.
That's the Spirit.
Hallelujah. That anointing is the Spirit. Is in you.
In you.
In you.
That's right.
He's in your spirit.
Oh, hallelujah.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth.
Yes.
This anointing is a teaching anointing.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We've never explored that freely as we should. But the anointing, he says, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Yes.
Now he's talking about the Spirit, but he calls him anointing. Now why? Because you can sense or feel anointing. And that anointing that you sense and feel in you is the Spirit. In you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he'll teach. And then Jesus said, this is still part of number five, but it's the third part now of number five step. Now, you need to know is Jesus said, For he shall not speak of himself. When he's come now to dwell in you, said he'll not speak of himself. And he'd have to be able to speak, or he couldn't guide, or he couldn't teach. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now Jesus is telling us that the Holy Ghost will speak to us. If he does, where will he speak? He'll speak in us, because that's where he is. Now sometimes that which speaks within you is your own spirit speaking, and then sometimes it's your spirit speaking what it's picked up from the Holy Spirit and learned, and then sometimes it is purely the Holy Spirit speaking. The difference is this. I know from experience, and there's some things you'll only learn from experience, that when it's your voice, that we call it the voice of conscience, or intuition, and the world even calls it a hunch. That's your spirit talking to you. But now wait a minute, don't sell your spirit short if you're born again. Because if your spirit's born again, brother, sister, your spirit's been recreated and has got the nature and the life of God in it. Joined to the spirit. And your spirit just knows things your head won't get.
That's right.
But then the Holy Spirit is then there. And sometimes he'll just speak up with a little more of authoritative voice. And it'll be so, and you're hearing it in your spirit, and this will be so. Now, you know, the conscious voice is more of a quiet voice, you see, or an inward voice. But then when the Spirit speaks in that, it'll be so real until you'll look around and see who said that. Well, I've gotten up when he spoke to me and didn't realize really it's coming from the inside of me. And I thought to myself, in fact, said it out loud, who said that? And I got up and looked behind the doors and under the bed and see who was in the room. And I sat back down and said, well, I mean back down before I learned. See, way back out of 20-some-odd years ago, nearly 30 years ago. And I sat back down with my Bible to reading, you know, and directly just spoke right up again. And I jumped out of my chair and said, who said that? And I looked under the bed, behind the doors, and under the chair. And so then I remembered then that old Eli, you know, when Samuel was just a boy. And he heard somebody speaking to him, and he thought his Eli called him. And Eli said, well, you answer the next time. And the third time he answered him, it was the Lord. And so this next time I got to reading, I didn't just wait for it to happen, didn't seek for it to happen. But I just started reading the Bible, meditating, just said, well, if it does happen again, okay. And it happened again, and when it did, I answered it back. I said, who said that? And that voice said to me, begin to give me a chapter and verse, said the Bible said it. Said 1 John so-and-so says it. I said, Lord, is that you speaking to me? He said, yes. Open your Bible to that chapter. And I opened it. And there was the very thing that he's trying to tell me. And then the revelation came in line with that scripture. Praise God, that just caused me to swap ends and head another direction. You know what I'm talking about? Well, if you don't, if you ever get there, you'll know it. If you don't, I can stand here all day and tell you, you'd never know. You know what? You know, you could talk to somebody. I dare say this. You could go way up in the North Pole or somewhere up in there and talk to Eskimos about trees. They'd never seen one. You could talk for 40 years and they'd never understand what you're talking about. But if they've ever seen a tree, you wouldn't have to do much talking about it. They know exactly what you're talking about. All right, finally. Listen. He said, and he's in you. And he said, will show you things to come. Now, I don't believe that just means things to come in regard to the church. I know he shows us things to come. He showed me things to come. But he'll show you things to come in regard to your own personal affairs. I've had him again and again to show me things to come concerning my finances. I've had him to show me things to come concerning my family. Since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke another tongue, you'd never remember my family ever become seriously, I mean even out there a ways, I never become seriously ill. I didn't know it ahead of time. Sometime 2 years ahead of time. Never one of them died, but I didn't know. I've known sometime 2 years ahead of time they're going to die. 2 years before they died, I knew it. See, it'd give me time then to get things ready and give me time to get them ready. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, as Wigglesworth said, I wouldn't trade this anointing of the Spirit for the world with a fence around it. Amen. If I could trade. If it could trade. You know, the whole world would be mine. I just wouldn't trade. Would you? Hallelujah. Let's stand, please. Our time's up.